Friday evening, January the 9th, and this is Issues and Answers, A Biblical Perspective. I'm Jim Cunningham, your host, along with my co-host, Pastor Gary Roy. Stay tuned for our topic this evening, Does the Devil Heal?
Who is like the Lord? He is strong and mighty. Who is like the Lord? He is worthy. Stand up and give him the praise.
Hello, this is Pastor Gary Roy with our host, Jim Cunningham, with Issues and Answers. Today we have a very interesting topic. Can the devil heal?
Amen. We want you to hopefully join in with us tonight in this discussion. This is something I feel that we need to address and take a close look at, because a number of people today are in desperate need of help physically and mentally, and they're seeking out a number of people to help them with these areas of concern. So tonight we're going to talk about that. Can the devil heal? And can the devil, or will the devil, cast out devils? And the reason I bring that up, that particular thought, is because of something that Jesus said. There was a time when Jesus was doing a ministry, and he had come upon a young person who was possessed of a devil, and he cast the devil out of the individual, and it caused quite a stir among some of the people in the hierarchy of the Old Testament approach to a relationship with the Lord. And this was Jesus' response to what they said. In Mark chapter 3, verse 20, we began and we read. And it says, Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, and they said, He is out of his mind. And the teachers of the law came down from Jerusalem and said, He is possessed by a Beelzebub, the prince of demons, and he is driving out demons. I may have the wrong scripture on that. Let me make sure here. Let me read that more carefully. Okay, and the scribes, it's Mark chapter 3, verse 22, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He has Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils casteth he out devils. Verse 23, and he, Jesus, called them unto him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath it in. So that raises a very interesting question. Jesus is basically implying, it sounds like, that Satan will not cast out devils. And today we have a number of people in the world that claim, and they seem to have a history of being able to validate, that they are alleviating the problem with demon possession, and they are also alleviating the problem with physical ailments through many methods that they use. And tonight we would like to talk about that with you and have you participate and give your viewpoints on that particular concept. Our phone number, if you wish to call in and participate in this study, is 448-5061. If you're calling locally, if you're out of the area, you would call 1-330-448-5061. I invite you to jump in early and share with us your views on that. Does or can the devil heal, and does he cast out devils? And so in light of that, I want to bring to the fore this evening some different case histories of individuals that claim that they're doing healing, and they believe in God, and they believe in Jesus Christ. And it would seem, if we can trust those that go out and try to validate these claims, that some of these people are having success in casting out devils and healing the sick. But some questions arise because of some of the other issues that they raise as they begin to process their communion with people over issues relating to this life. And one of the individuals that I want to basically briefly do a little bio backdrop on the tonight, her name is simply Susan, and she is a psychic healer. And she can do that, she claims, either distantly or in person. So she says, I believe I can help even the most disheartened and pain-racked individual. Please keep in mind that I cannot diagnose or give medical advice. These are unnecessary because of the Holy Spirit, and look at this, because of the Holy Spirit of God works through me to help you. However, whether I lay hands on a person or by telephone, distant healing has been practiced throughout the ages, or the saints of God aid me. Now, listen closely. She is saying, from a Christian perspective, many things that you and I would say amen to, but there are little bits of terminology in here that send up warning flags that tells me I better take a close look at this individual and determine whether she is genuinely representing God and Jesus Christ. She says, I know you will be helped immeasurably. First, I will, through Christian and Kabbalic exorcism prayers, rid and cleanse the client of negative or satanic energy. Not all illness is satanic in origin. Some can be karmic, but this does open the doorway of my personal physical energy to ease or even cure symptoms. My psychic energy can even sometimes jumpstart the client's own self-healing. I am only the wire or channel in actuality. I do not, like most healers, pressure you for numerous consultations. One should suffice. After all, Jesus Christ doesn't need practice. So here you have an individual who says that God has given her a wonderful gift. She believes in Jesus Christ, but she also incorporates into her theology, if you will, other religious documents, such as the Kabbalic writings. So we need to ask ourselves, should we be concerned when somebody comes to us and says, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in God, and I believe that God has empowered me with psychic power to heal you, and I can do that through many methods that she uses. And here's what she says about herself. She said, I am Susan Buchanan, and I would like to offer my ancient spiritual talents to help you solve your personal questions and problems of the modern 90s. And she goes on and tells more about herself. She says, you can use my talents to have that extra edge in business. And she was talking on a radio station about that, and it gives the radio station. So she's useful in getting a clairvoyant insight on how to direct you in business purposes. And some of the fields that she deals in is Susan's psychic history. She's a personal psychic reader, infertility reader. She gets into psychic healing, psychic past lives, reincarnation history, psychic romance readings, and psychic business consultation. So that's a little background on Susan. And you have to ask yourself, she claims to be a Christian. She claims that the Holy Spirit is working through her. And she is only one of many. And she continues and basically talks about some of the other things that she does. So it would be nice to know if you believe that the devil can heal. Does the devil heal today? How about you pastors out there? Have you studied on this issue, and do you know anything about whether the devil can heal? How can we determine when it's God doing the healing, and how can we determine when satanic powers may be doing the healing? The scriptures tell us that Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. But here, coming back to what Jesus said if Satan cast out Satan, he's basically defeating himself. So individuals that claim to have psychic power, they take patients that have gone through the medical process without any success, and they claim and lay claim to many healing results because of their ability to contact the spirit world, or as they call the Holy Spirit world, and begin to perform miracles. And so we would like to know what you think about our area. Phone number for out of the area is 1-330-448-5061, and for in the area is 448-5061. We'd like a response to you from you, what you think about psychic healing. Do you believe that the terminology is something that we could drop and say, well, what they're doing is good? Because Jesus made it very clear that Satan won't cast out Satan, and it appears he's even implying Satan would never heal. So your opinions on that would be appreciated. Okay, Pastor Gary, do you have any thoughts at this time that you would like to share on this little issue that we're trying to address tonight?
Yes, I do, Jim. God doesn't have a monopoly on miracles. Satan can enable his followers to perform deceptive works, and I emphasize deceptive works. This will occur in a special way in the last days. The word is right, miracles, signs, and wonders, but they will be counterfeit because they are the work of Satan. From time to time, the magicians in Pharaoh's court, through the ministry of the early church, Satan's servants deceived the people with their sleight of hands, magic tricks. Satan remains in the deception business. We must beware of his powers. God's miracles point us to love, thus we can recognize them.
Amen. So there's a response from a pastor who's not afraid to take on the issue and articulate what he feels about it. We would like to hear from you this evening. Let us know what you think. How can we be sure that the claims that some of these people that are making are psychic are true? I went into some of my libraries on this material and find out that there's a number of documented cases where individuals have been observed very closely as they went into trances, as they performed signs and wonders in the name of Jesus Christ, I would add, and they actually sent their patients home cured based upon those that were there and evaluated the process. These individuals claim to be unbiased. As a matter of fact, they went there not believing that they were going to see any results and came away impressed that these individuals were indeed performing signs and wonders and miracles, even casting out devils using different methods. Again, coming back to what Jesus said, and we're going to basically give opinion on what Jesus meant when he said that later on, when he said made that statement later on in the program, but we would love for you to jump in before that and share what you know about psychic healing, what you think about psychic healing. Give us a call and share with us. One of the first individuals I think that it was best documented and is most noted, and some might say that they don't believe that he had a legitimate claim to some of the claims he made, but based upon my research and study, a fellow by the name of Jess Stern wrote a book called Edgar Cayce, The Sleeping Prophet, and he claims that he went out and very carefully studied this man and determined that he did a lot of the things that he claimed to have done, and he brought forth revelation about issues that he reportedly knew nothing about when he wasn't in a trance state. And so we want to talk about him a little bit and just discuss some of the things that Edgar Cayce is reported to have done. First of all, I believe if memory serves me right, Edgar Cayce's background religiously was he was a Southern Baptist, and I believe at some time in his life he had a confrontation with the spirit world. A spirit appeared to him and desired to use him in a healing mode and method to help mankind because there were so many afflictions upon mankind during his visit to this earth. And the reason I use the word visit because he basically came to believe in many lives. When he would go into a trance, he would start talking about reincarnation. He would start talking about the lost continent of Atlantis. He would start talking about aliens from outer space and all these things that violated the fundamentals of his Christian belief. And he struggled with that for some time based upon, again, my memory in reading that process. So I want to read a little bit out of my manuscript notes that I made concerning Edgar Cayce when I was doing the study back in the 70s and just briefly show you some of the resolve or the results of Jess Stern's inquiry into the man Edgar Cayce, who claimed to be a Christian, but he believed in many lives. He believed in reincarnation. And I would ask you, as a Christian, does that create a problem for you? Can you accept that, or do you have an opinion or a response to that you would like to share with us tonight? We invite you to jump in and call us at 448-5061, and out of the area, just add the area code 1330. So today, we have all around us psychic phenomena growing on a large scale, and the question that arises is the God of the Hebrew Christian faith responsible for these phenomena directly or indirectly? If people like a man called Arago and Edgar Cayce or from the Almighty God of the Hebrew Christian faith, we have a religious contradiction in our midst. And the man I referred to as Errigo, I'll get to later and give you a little brief history on what he was reported to have accomplished while he was being exorcised by someone from the spirit world. But Edgar Cayce would go into trances, and these are some of the things that he would accomplish. Let's see if I can find the right page here. And it says he was a poorly educated, that's dealing with Errigo, I'm sorry. Apparently, I'm not on the right page in this manuscript to do what I wanted to do. But nevertheless, Edgar Cayce, everyone knows there is a museum or there's a library left to his monument in Virginia Beach, Virginia, I believe. And many people go there and they take out the readings that he left behind. A lot of chiropractors and different people still use some of the methods that he introduced back in the 40s. Dealing with different methods on healing people. He would take terminally ill people. He would read their psychic makeup from a distance. All he needed was an article or a name, and he could reportedly tell all kinds of things about these people, and he would give diagnosis for new medications that had never even been thought of yet, apparently, by the medical profession, and he would actually recommend that some people would make up these different concoctions and give them to their patients, and they would get a positive result from it. And he basically said that Jesus Christ was Lord of his life, that we simply had lost some of the beliefs that the early Christians had held regarding reincarnation, and it's something that we need to once again reevaluate and investigate. I'm sure that if you're out there and you've done any reading whatsoever, you right away would know many lives, that makes no sense. That would totally violate the whole concept and purpose of Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer put it this way, Hebrews 9:27. It says very clearly, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, he's going to stand judgment. So that would seem to be a contradiction and a conflict. When you have someone like Susan, who claims to be a Christian, when you have someone like Edgar Cayce, who claims to be a Christian, and they are performing miracles, I would ask most of Christianity today, what's the last time you saw a literal blind eye opened in your presence? When was the last time you heard or saw a deaf ear unstopped? When was the last time you saw cancer removed from the body through prayer? What was the last time you saw a heart restored without going to the doctor? These people apparently claim that they're doing these things. It would seem to make it look like that they have something to boast about and brag about that we haven't yet arrived at least in this country. Now, we've always heard that God is healing on the other side of the hill, on the other side of the mountain, in some other country. Today, these individuals, if they're on the scene and making their claims, if I had a sick child, or I had a sick mother, and I would take her to Edgar Cayce or Susan, and they would fix her problem, I would have great difficulty rejecting them as a good person, wouldn't you? If they're saying that I can actually make myself a better person by being reincarnated a number of times, does that not run in conflict with the Word of God? As I mentioned, Hebrews 9:27 said, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that he's going to stand judgment. How can these people possibly be performing miracles in the name of Jesus Christ when they're submitting doctrinal concepts that seem to violate some of the most important issues concerning Jesus Christ? Jesus said that he is the way. He is the way to life. There is no other door but him. There is not a matter of going and coming many times to be renewed into proper relationship with the Father. Now, there are a number of people today that believe that the Scriptures teach reincarnation, and they have points of reference that I'm not going to get into this tonight because that's not the issue. The issue I want to address is, how can someone who claims to be a psychic, who claims to be a Christian, and still believe in things like reincarnation, should we follow them just so we can have a physical release of an issue that seems to be very important to us? Now, I had mentioned Errigo, and I do have his case history in front of me, and I want to read about him just to show that some of the things that psychic healers have been known to do. Listen carefully, please. I'm not here, and by no standard am I putting my stamp of approval on what I'm about to share with you. But I am raising the issue because I am concerned that a number of people out there today are very sincerely seeking out help from the psychic contacts around the world. And these individuals are very well dressed. They are very cordial. They have a very positive message. They even imply that if you have a positive attitude, that is one of the keys for your healing process to take place. And they have a vocabulary, they have a vernacular that sounds very much like some of the things that Jesus himself said. He said that faith is a very key issue in dealing and receiving healing from God. As a man thinketh in his heart, the scripture says, so is he. Many people are very afflicted with sickness today, and using that principle, we might find out that they have a very bad attitude. They don't have a positive attitude. And if they could come about a life with a more positive confession, they may not have some of the problems that now control them. So the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you're speaking negative, Jesus said it's not good to speak negative. The psychics are basically saying the same thing. It's not good to speak negative, because if you can begin to think positive, speak positive, you can get results. And they claim they have the documentation to back up what they say. They believe in God, they believe in Jesus Christ, but they also have brought on board some other theology that would seem to me to imply that you need to be careful what you're getting into, even though they're helping you with a very helping you with a problem that you're concerned about that's preeminent in your life. And here's a little background about the man named Errigo. His title was the surgeon with the rusty knife. Errigo was another man who had a spirit reportedly of a dead doctor approach him. And this doctor had died back during the in the 1800s, and he didn't get to complete his work, he claims. And so he came to this man called Errigo, who was a poorly educated peasant, and he wanted to impart into him special medical skills. And Errigo was a Catholic, and right away this manifestation ran in conflict with his theology. And he even went to a priest and said, what should I do about this spirit, this bright light that appears to me? And he was having phenomenal headaches because the thing would not leave him alone. It says, I insist, I must use your body to continue my work. And so Errigo resisted for some time, but the headaches became so extreme and so severe, he finally submitted to this spirit of this long-dead doctor and allowed this doctor to begin to minister through him. And so there's an individual from different institutions here in the United States went down to evaluate his work. And here's what they found out about him. Excuse me. As he went... they went down to greet Errigo. Here's how he greeted. He said he greeted them warmly as though he knew why they were there. Through the interpreters, he told Purick, which was one of the investigators, and a guy by the name of Belk, they could stay as long as they wished and were free to interview any of his patients. Those who had come to see Errigo now moved in single file into the large barn-like room. Errigo began speaking in Portuguese in a rough peasant accent. It was not Errigo, he told the gathering, but Jesus who brought about his cures. He said he did not want to know the religious convictions of any person. All religions are good. Is this not true? There was a murmur of assent. Abruptly he led them in a recital of the Lord's Prayer, and the conviction that they had come on a wild goose chase grew in the minds of both Belk and Puharic. The prayer finished, and Errigo went into a small cubicle just off the main room and closed the door. When he came back out moments later, he held his head high, almost arrogantly. He spoke sharply. The interpreters noted a thick German accent in his Portuguese, and Purick detected a sprinkling of simple German phrase in his words. Imperiously, he walked over to Purick and Belk. Come, he said, and led them into the treatment room. "There is nothing to hide here," he said. "I am happy to have you watch." Suddenly, he took the elderly man at the head of the line of the patient and roughly placed him against the wall, directly under the hand-lettered sign that read, "Think of Jesus." Without a word, he picked up a 4-inch stainless steel paring knife and plunged it into the man's left eye under the lid and deep into the socket. The man was fully conscious, but he did not flinch. Purick was stunned, even more so when Arago began violently scraping the knife between the eyeball and the inside of the lid, pressing up into the socket area with uninhibited force. Then he levered the eye so that it appeared to extrude from the socket. The patient seemed bothered by only one thing, a fly that had landed on his cheek. He calmly brushed it away. Finally, Arago withdrew his paring knife from the man's eye, noted that with satisfaction a smear of pus on the tip, and wiped it off on his shirt. "You will be well," he said to the man. Then he called the next patient. Purick stopped the first man and made a quick examination of the eye. There was no laceration, no redness, no sign of irritation. The entire examination had taken less than a minute. Already the second patient had passed through Arago to an assistant. For most, almost without looking at them, Arago scribbled a prescription and at incredible speed. Occasionally he would place a patient against the wall, wipe the knife on his shirt, and drive it into the tumor or a cyst, an eye or an ear, and remove whatever the offending growth was. There was no anesthesia, no hypnotic suggestion, no anesthetics, and no bleeding beyond a trickle. And it goes on, and it basically tells how it all began, the blinding light and the terrifying dreams that he had. And so here's a man who was of Catholic persuasion. He was not educated. He was very poor. And yet this spirit appeared to him and performed these miracles through him. And you have to ask yourself. You'll find out later, as he said earlier, all religions are good. There's no one way. There's no dogma here. God loves everybody, and if you want to approach him through Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalism, the door is open. Come on in. Jesus Christ is just simply a nice figure that plays into this. No of greater relevance other than they did give Jesus credit for the healing. But along with that came the teaching of many lives. And so we see that people are being set free physically in the name of Jesus Christ, but there's a doctrine that has been brought to these individuals. And I would assume if I were them and I had been brought up in a certain belief system and I had been to my pastor and I had been to my priest and I could not get any resolve and I go to a man like Arago and he gets results for me, I would be inclined to listen to what the man had to say. How about you? What would you do in a case like that? Do you have a response to what I have read and implied up to this point? You've heard what Pastor Gary said. You've heard what I say on this issue. This is only one of many cases I like to share with you this evening concerning healing that has the aura of Christian benevolence around it. And I'm asking, should we follow these? It seems like many people are going out not only to places like Lourdes, seeking manifestations, apparitions, seeking visits from the Mother Mary, and she comes apparently and touches them and they're healed. Things that some of us have a problem with. And I realize that we have differences in theology, even within the Christian realm on some of these issues. But we're getting into, we have to come back to a point of reference that says, how can I know? I went to breakfast with a gentleman this morning and we discussed this. He said, how can we know who's telling us the truth? And I said, we have to have a point of reference that we can trust. And that point of reference, I believe, is the scripture. And before this program's over, I hopefully I'll be able to show you that Jesus was not saying something contradictory when he said Satan will not cast out Satan, whether it be demonically or whether it be healing. Satan, I believe, will be shown before this program's over. He can and he does do healing. Now, what we need to be concerned about is how can we determine, and why would he do that? First of all, why would he do it? We're told he hates us, and he's out to destroy us. Why would he want to bring us harm? And we'll get to that later. But before we go any further into the program, we're going to take a brief break, and we're going to run a short clip by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Fritz. After this, we're going to go into an ad, but I'm going to do Dr. Fritz first. Dr. Fritz is the follow-up, and he today is alive in Brazil, just like Errigo. He claims to be the fifth person, I believe, that has had the same gentleman that channeled himself through Errigo. Dr. Fritz in Brazil is now functioning. And here's a 5-minute and 25-second report on Dr. Fritz. And listen to what the investigators, I think it was from Borderline Paranormal, that aired this some months back. And they talk about how people are flocking to this individual who is claims to be representing God and Jesus Christ, and he's performing miracles, but he allows this spirit to come into him before, and then it's not the Holy Spirit. He allows the spirit to come into him, and his whole countenance changes. Everything about him changes, and then he begins to do the same things that Errigo reportedly did back in the 60s. So we're going to listen to a short clip on Dr. Fritz.
The story is about a man who performed thousands of surgeries and claims thousands of cures, but he has no hospital and absolutely no medical training. That doesn't stop him, because he believes the dead doctor takes possession of his soul before each operation.
Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. In a quiet neighborhood, a woman named Andrea is in deep pain.
Can't stand it anymore. Can't stand it.
She has suffered from severe, debilitating migraine headaches since she was 13 years old. Traditional treatments have failed to help. Her longtime friend Phyllis has watched her suffer since childhood.
And I know she's tried every type of traditional medicine. Nothing has ever worked.
But in a country steeped in religion and mysticism, there may be an alternative, a paranormal alternative. Today, Andrea and Phyllis will meet Brazil's most famous healer, Dr. Fritz. Dr. Fritz is a German physician who worked in a field hospital during World War I. He died in 1916. But since that time, his spirit has been channeled in Brazil by at least 5 healers. Dr. Gilda Moura is a researcher and clinical psychologist. For the past 5 years, she has studied the phenomenon of paranormal healing in Brazil.
There's a series of people that claim being received or being possessed by the same spirit, Dr. Fritz.
This man is the latest host for the spirit of Dr. Fritz. Ruben Faria. This unassuming man is no doctor. He has absolutely no medical training. But when he becomes possessed with the soul of Dr. Fritz, he's transformed into an internationally renowned healer. What you are seeing is Ruben Faria receiving the soul as well as the medical abilities of Dr. Fritz. As many as 800 people a day come to be cured in an old meeting hall located in a rundown Rio suburb.
Look at my hood. There will be many more tumors, sore throats, and headaches. You'll see, curing them is easy. What is more difficult is awakening the head and heart, giving people faith for the rest of their lives. That's my real mission, to help others find themselves.
Some require only a few minutes of his time. Others require delicate surgery done on the spot. Dr. Fritz performs operations without anesthetic, using medical techniques that date back to the turn of the century.
In the Fritz phenomenon, the paranormal healers, spiritual healers in Brazil, we observe the same. It's very interesting because the way they do the scars and the way they sew it, it's the old way to do it. It's not the modern way.
Sometimes he injects his patients with what should be a lethal mix of alcohol, iodine, and turpentine. Somehow, his patients feel no pain.
I feel it, of course. I feel him doing the cutting and hammering with the knife. Can you see that? It's just that it doesn't hurt.
So far, science cannot explain the miracle of Dr. Fritz, but perhaps spirituality can.
We did a test before trance and after trance. And it's a different state of mind, a different state of consciousness.
You don't awaken anything in a person that they don't already feel in their own body. This is what alternative medicine really is. Now I'm at peace. This man, he has blessed hands.
When Andrea and Phyllis arrive at Dr. Fritz's, there's already a long line. Many people have been waiting for hours. On this day, like on most, there are no unhappy patients.
Yeah, Gordon?
No problem.
Now it is Andrea's turn. She won't require any surgery, but she's still nervous.
I don't think I can do it.
After a last-minute hesitation, Andrea follows Dr. Fritz to his work area. The procedure is quick and painless.
I'm in awe. I didn't feel a thing. Yeah, there was something very protective about him. I mean, there's something he makes you feel good. I mean, he told me to thank God. He says, if you don't feel any pain, thank God for that. And I said, no, I'll thank you. And he says, no, thank God, I don't have anything to do with that. That's what he said. And it felt very positive. I mean, it was a positive feeling, good vibes, if you will.
For Andrea and thousands like her, the healing powers of Dr. Fritz, as channeled through the body of Ruben Faria, have provided the relief that modern medicine hasn't.
When you come out here and you see it, it's very hard to remain cynical about it. He has something. He has something unexplainable, but he has it. And it's working.
The Bible has something to say about what's been happening with this Dr. Fritz and this individual named Arago, or entity named Arago. This individual said that they saw a light, and this being came into them to possess them. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians, the first chapter, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there are be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And there are people today that run after the miracles. They run after the signs and wonders. Well, these are nothing but lying signs and wonders. And friends, I want to tell you that we have a picture in Scripture of what the life after is all about. People that are dead do not float around on some cloud somewhere, floating in and out of reality. They are in their eternal state. We see Lazarus and the rich man. Jesus spoke of them, Lazarus being in a place of torment, and Lazarus being in the bosom of Abraham, the rich man in the place of torment. And they could not communicate back and forth. The rich man could not communicate with his brothers. He asked that someone would go back from the dead to warn his brothers. And Jesus said that even if someone came back from the dead, that they wouldn't listen. And Jesus did come back from the dead, and there are still people that won't listen today. This is a deception perpetrated by Satan. Just because an angel of light or signs and wonders come does not mean that this is of God. Just because somebody says they're a Christian, we have to see their fruit.
Amen. So now it's your turn to respond. You've heard just a little bit, and we have much more to share with you, but we would love to hear from you. Give us your opinion about what you've heard up to this point. Do you believe that... As Jesus said, let me read it one more time, what Jesus said. And remembering what Jesus said, and remembering what you've heard up to this point, I have to ask you, what do you think? Do you want to put Arago, Dr. Fritz, Susan, Edgar Casey, individuals that if you met them, you'd probably like them. They're probably very cordial, very kind, very compassionate people. And they no doubt had an experience. In some cases, it's fraud. In some cases, it's trickery. But we do know that there is, and we believe in a spirit world. I think Scripture makes it very clear that beginning back with Moses, and his confrontation with Pharaoh, that there was spiritual power being manifested in the presence of Moses and the children of Israel. Moses was empowered by God to perform miracles, and apparently Pharaoh's sorcerers were also empowered to perform miracles. And so we have to realize that there is something behind this. And Jesus said, and if Satan's kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So it sounds like Jesus, in his defense, was saying, listen, guys, your reasoning's all messed up. It would not profit Satan to cast out Satan. Now, Jesus said, he that the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. And I'm going to drop that statement right there for a second while we go to a clip. We're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to run an ad here in the middle of our program. And then we're going to come back and pick up on that. And Pastor Gary's still got some good commentary coming up, hopefully. And we got a ton of stuff to share with you. So if you want to call us at 448-5061, get ready. Do it right after this ad. At key moments in history, God provides extraordinary spiritual insight meant to alert mankind to destructive forces engulfing his creation. We are now at that threshold in time where we can either respond to the warnings of God's wisdom or be drawn away by the lure of lying wonders spoken of in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Finally, here is a book that offers a timely and fascinating look into some of the strange happenings invading Christianity today. Bob Kaminsky, a Catholic charismatic, explores the trendy New Age paranormal experiences and UFO phenomena with a unique and in-depth insight into the consciousness event he calls the Luciferic Initiation. The old trickster Lucifer has left no stone unturned in the attempt to delude mankind into accepting that which is not supported by God's word. This book will inform the reader and challenge the many paths to God's teaching espoused by today's New Age proponents. In addition, you will see the importance of protecting your mind from the deceptive awareness and higher level consciousness experience. For a copy of Lying Wonders, send $10 to Jim Cunningham, Post Office Box 432, Brookfield, Ohio, 44403, shipping and handling included. Do it today. Okay, there's a good book, ladies and gentlemen. I think that if you would read that, you would be brought up to speed somewhat as to what is going on concerning the psychic phenomena. Bob Kaminsky, by the way, is going to be with us next week again. We had him on in the beginning of our programming a couple months ago, and we're bringing him back because of the type of information that he has to share, I think, is very relevant. And we didn't begin to touch the issues that his book addresses on his last visit. So next week, mark that down, that Bob Kaminsky is going to be our guest from Washington State, and his book is called Lying Wonders. And we just invite you to encourage your neighbors and friends to get involved in this. We're trying to raise the awareness. You might say there are other issues that you might consider more important. I find this all the time. Wherever I go, no matter who I meet in the Christian community, what they're doing is the most important thing to do. We've got to get bigger than that, and we've got to begin to realize there's a number of issues that we have just fallen flat on our face on, and we haven't addressed it properly. With all of our attempts to do so, we have still got much to do in the kingdom of God as far as confronting the powers of darkness. And what we're trying to do here tonight is at least make people aware that there are a number of people coming at us right now in the name of Christianity, in the name of Christ, in the name of God, but they have theology interwoven within their presentation that's contradictory to biblical viewpoint. Now, I made the statement before that last ad that Jesus said, he that the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. Now, what I think personally, and I'm going to put my comments before the pastors this evening a little bit different, and if there's time afterwards, I'll come back with a closing statement. But I want to make this point because this is the whole reason for this presentation from my perspective. I feel that what we see going on here, the Dr. Fritz, the Edgar Cayce's, the Susans, and others. I have another gentleman here. If time permit, I'll give you a little background about a fellow named Leon S. Legant. He sounds like one of the greatest evangelists that you'd ever want to meet. But when you get into some of the things he believes, all of a sudden all kinds of warning signs go up. And I don't say that just to say something derogatory about this man. I feel that we have a responsibility to try the spirit of individuals that are coming at us right now in the name of Jesus Christ and determine, because the scripture... So Jesus said this. He said that that the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. Here's what I believe is going on here with the Arrigos, the Caseys, the Susans, and the others. I believe that Lucifer is not setting anybody free in the literal sense of the term when he comes and performs a deceiving and lying wonder. Lucifer, we believe, we attribute most sickness, most of our problems to his rebellion, and in our part where we followed suit on that issue, and we believe that he's responsible for all the chaos and harmness upon mankind today. So we've always been told, would never do anything good to help us. But if he could do something good to help us, to deceive us, I think he would do that. And here's what I believe is going on. I believe that sincere people, like the gentleman that's allowing Dr. Fritz, and Arrigo, who allowed Dr. Fritz to work through him, and Susan, very sincere, nice, cordial, loving, kind, compassionate people, do not realize they've opened themselves up to the spirit world, and Lucifer is setting people free. And here's how he's setting them free. And his kingdom is not divided when he does this. He will set you free spiritually, or physically, I'm sorry. He will set you free physically from your headache. He will set you free physically from your eye problem. He will set you free from your ear problem, your stomach problem, your cancer problem, through different techniques these men just mentioned. But he will take you captive spiritually. The scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So he will free you physically, so he might take you captive spiritually, which is an eternal thing. The physical element is a temporary experience. We're going to be changed, and we don't know what that change is going to include when Jesus alters our body sometime in the near future. But Lucifer will take you captive spiritually in exchange for setting you free physically. And many times he'll do that through very genuine and sincere individuals. So I believe that when Jesus said Satan will not cast out Satan in the demonic sense, or he wouldn't heal somebody in the physical sense, that Jesus said if you want to consider yourself free, I think if you turn to Galatians chapter 5, is it Galatians chapter 5, 19, where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, or is it later on in the chapter? That is free. If you have the fruits of the Spirit working in you, that is what Jesus considers free. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, temperance, faith. Those are individuals that work in those realms. They are free. They are free spiritually, which is the most important thing. Now, I realize Jesus came to redeem not only the flesh and the spirit and the soul, but right now, Lucifer, if he can use a very cunning maneuver, will set you free, I believe, physically, so he can take you captive with a spiritual theology that contradicts the Hebrew Christian presentation. Scripture makes it very clear in the Proverbs, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. Same way Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Now, when Jesus came and set people free physically, he went the next step. He didn't try to tell them they could deliver themselves through some kind of higher awareness or consciousness. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. So when we come into Jesus Christ, he is the open door to a complete and full freedom, physically, soul, and spirit free. And so with that, I just want to emphasize that one of the main reasons I got into this study was when I read that scripture one time, I felt prompted to think more closely about it because it seemed contradictory. And as I sought the Lord in prayer and took time over a period of weeks, I began to realize what's going on here is a sleight of hand event. And Lucifer, we're told, can appear as an angel of light. And I'll read later before we close 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again. I deal a lot out of that chapter. There is so much that can be said from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 concerning the strong delusion of the end time. That's basically my call. That's where I'm at. I've heard ministers take the 23rd Psalm and talk on it for a year. Well, I've been in this 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 for 25 years, and it's still, I find it very fascinating with new revelation. So with that, I'm going to step back here and have Pastor Gary Roy come and share some biblical commentary with us, and we just encourage you to listen. And still, if you get a chance and you want to respond, be the first to call in. We'll give you a few moments before we go off the air.
You know, Jim, sometimes the devil will even make us feel good in order to entrap us, because he's come to rob, to steal, and to destroy. And if he can deceive us into following after him, he certainly will do that. I want to go back into the Old Testament. We talked about how Satan is a serpent. In the garden, he was called a serpent, and he caused man to fall. Not only was the serpent cursed, but Adam was cursed, and Eve also was cursed. Even though they had excuses, Eve said, the serpent made me do it. Adam said, the woman, Lord, which thou gavest me, made me to eat of it. And each one had an alibi, except for the serpent. And God cursed all three of them. It didn't matter what their excuse was. And so we are without excuse. We go a little bit further, and we see the serpent resurfacing in the area of Egypt, where Moses throws down his rod, and that rod becomes a snake. And the 10 plagues of Egypt accompanied several things. They were signs to Israel, assuring them of God's power and care. They were plagues of judgment to Egypt, punishing the people for persecuting Israel and revealing the vanity of their gods. And they were prophecies of judgment to come, as in the book of Revelation. Note the sequence of the plague. They fall in three groups, three each, with the 10th plague, death of the firstborn, set off the last. Water into blood in the 7th chapter, the frogs, the lice, the flies. And I want to note that up to this point, in Genesis, we read that the magicians in Egypt were able to duplicate what Aaron and Moses did. Aaron threw down the rod, and it became a serpent. The magicians threw down their rods, and they became serpents. But I want to point out that Aaron's serpents devoured or ate their rods. It's interesting that was the form of a serpent. I believe God is telling us in that illustration that Satan has power, but God has all power over all the power of the enemy. But I want to point out that the magicians only had power up to a point. When it came to the third plague of lice, there was a warning, and the magicians in Egypt could not duplicate it. And at that point, they went to Pharaoh, and they said, "This is the finger of God." They could not go past that point. But God went on and brought the plague of flies and the plague on the cattle and the boils and the hail fire and the locusts and the darkness. The plagues were actually a declaration of war against the gods of Egypt. Each one of these plagues represented a god. The first plague was against the god of Osiris, the Nile god, all the way down to the last plague, representing the gods. God was showing Pharaoh that their gods were no gods, and God brought them out of the land of Egypt with a strong hand. The first plague, when he turned water into blood, the second plague, the invasion of frogs, the third plague of lice, and the fourth of flies, and the cattle disease, and the boils, and the hail mingled with fire, and all the way down to Pharaoh's son being killed. When Moses went the first time, they told Pharaoh that if they didn't let the people go, that even his son would be touched. So we see that through all of this, that God touched Pharaoh and showed him, hardened his heart, showed him that he was the Almighty God. In 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, we read Galatians about the angel of light. It talks about the coming of the lawlessness lawless one. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles and signs. And this is what the musicians did. They duplicated it. I can't tell you whether it was an actual miracle that the musicians did. I know what God did. It was a miracle. But Satan counterfeits. He imitates. Sleight of hand. This is what Satan does. We see that this is a delusion, 2 Thessalonians 2:11, a strong delusion that Satan sends that people will believe a lie, all the way up into the book of Revelation, that Revelation 13:13, that the Antichrist, he will perform great signs and even causing fire to fall down from heaven. Don't be deceived. You're sitting at home thinking, you know, what's this all about? In these last days, there's going to come people performing miracles, pointing people to Christianity, saying this is Christianity, but we need to try the spirits to see if they're of God.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Gary. So we still have about 6 minutes. If you would like to jump in here real quick and make a comment, we invite you to do so. The phone number is 448-5061, out of the area, 1-330-448-5061. I'm Jim Cunningham, the host of Issues and Answers, along with Pastor Gary Roy, and we're simply trying to raise the awareness of on many strange issues. You might think, we live in 1998, and why are we dealing with such strange, crazy, phenomenal issues? The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, when you look in the Old and New Testament, some very unusual things took place there. In light of the mentality of the day, we would reject many of those events. But as a Christian, I believe that what Pastor Gary talked about concerning Moses and the magicians of the Old Testament, that literally took place. I believe that a number of things that are yet to take place in the future will be so phenomenal, it will challenge the I'm from Missouri mentality that says you have to prove it to me. Well, it's very possible that Lucifer is going to step out into the open in the very near future, and we're going to have to deal with that. Manifestation. Just again to make reference to what some of the things that Edgar Casey talked about. He was asked about whether there's extraterrestrial life, and because we've been dealing with UFOs and all that's related, that the abductions, different sightings that people are having around the world, and all that's implied from that. Here's what Edgar Casey was asked about back in the 40s, before the Kenneth Arnold event took place in 1947. Here's what he said. At one point, Casey was asked, are there any of the planets other than the Earth inhabited by human beings or animal life of any kind? The questioner was specifically referring to the planets in our own solar system. Casey's answer was no. Only upon Earth planet at present do we find as flesh and blood. We note a couple of curious qualifications in this statement. Why specifically at present? Does this leave open the possibility that such life has existed in the past or will exist in future time? Does a flesh and blood mean that non-incarnated entities may in fact inhabit other planets of our solar system? Casey then continues, but upon others, we find those conditions of his own making in the preparation of his own development. So it sounds like in their dimension, they have a realm of reality just like we have ours on our planet. Upon planets other than those in our own system, many of the Casey readings were delivered in archaic and convoluted language, and they are not always easily interpreted. As you can well see, from that little quote that I read, you could make a lot out of those quotes, and I think maybe that does go on substantially in this issue of what people make out, even men like Nostradamus. I believe personally that some of Nostradamus's prophecies, there have been people today have taken very skillfully and made them appear to be completed or fulfilled. I don't necessarily believe that Nostradamus represents, in a prophetic sense, Almighty God in any way. So with that, we're going to head towards the wrap-up this evening, and I want to say this. If you're out there and you're delving into the psychic realm and you find it fascinating, you find it entertaining, you think it's just a light-hearted thing, what could possibly be wrong with it? What's wrong with Ouija boards? What's wrong with trying to communicate with the dead? It's just a fun game, right? The scripture speaks out very adamantly, very clearly, that if we seek out the spirit world, they will make themselves known to us, and they will cause us to become an abomination in the eyes of God. Jesus Christ said you must come his way. You must not seek out the psychics and the seers that are offering themselves on the 800 and 900 numbers right now. Even though they're very cordial, they basically will tell you nice things. They'll tell you you're going to find the lover of your life. You're going to come into great wealth. They're going to ensure you that you're a good person. Jesus basically turns around and says, but all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He says you must be born again before you can inherit or become a part of his kingdom. Being born again is repenting of our hereditary sin nature that we're born with. Most of us, because of pride, don't like to admit we have something wrong with us. I encourage you tonight to allow Jesus Christ to become Lord of your life. Invite him in, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he will do that. And then seek out a place of fellowship and find assistance in growing spiritually, and let God open up to you a life of liberty and freedom that you never dreamed, and fulfillment like you never dreamed of. With that, we're going to close, but I want to say this very quickly. Our mailing address is Issues and Answers, Post Office Box 432, Brookfield, Ohio 44403. Issues and Answers, Brookfield, or Post Office Box 432, Brookfield, Ohio 44403. With that, we're going to close. We'll see you next week. Bob Kaminsky. We'll get into the issue of lying wonders next week. With that, listen to this tape as we leave and exalt the name of Christ.